flare this afternoon.
Patty Page sings about my sin. I should say her sin, just to take the ambiguity out of it.
My sin was loving you, not wisely but too well. Your sin was letting me and getting me in your spell. Our sin was following a love that could not be. Now my sin is wanting you, though you forgotten me.
And now, just to prove that manners is something else besides a pint-sized butler, here's the Flair Etiquette Task Force.
Eating peas with a knife, or dunking your roll, or washing your face in a finger bowl. Like, man, you wouldn't show up on a manners poll. You need help to spare, like from Flair.
This is Vicki Vola, your Flair etiquette counselor. Today's etiquette drama takes place in a car on a highway. The young husband is at the wheel and his wife is beside him. Let's listen.
Nothing like a drive in the country. Right, Mary Jane?
Oh, Bill, look.
What's the matter?
There's somebody stuck ahead. See? He's got a handkerchief tied to his door handle.
Maybe he's got a cold and he's drying it out.
Oh, silly. That's the emergency distress signal. We'd better stop.
Nope.
Why, Bill, I'm surprised at you. Wouldn't you stop to help somebody in trouble?
No, sir.
Well, I don't think that's being very polite. Maybe you can help him.
Maybe I can, but I'm not going to stop.
Oh, look, it's a woman driver. Now, surely you're not going to pass up a lady in distress. Why, what if it were I in need of help? Would you want someone to pass me up?
Yes, I would. Now, you just leave the driving manners to me, will you? I know more about it than you do.
This is Vicki Vola again. Well, what would you do in a situation like that? If you do what Bill did, you'd be right and safe. Stopping beside a highway and showing a signal of distress is a favorite trick of hold-up men or women. What you should do is to blink your lights or sound your horn to show that you've seen the signal. Then, at the next gas station or highway phone, report the trouble and continue on your way. It's the best way to solve the driver's trouble and to keep you out of trouble.
This is Dick Van Dyke reminding you that most of us spend half our time wishing for things we could have if we didn't spend half our time wishing. But there's a good way to get those things you keep wishing for, and it's a simple way, too. In three words, plan for them. And a good way to plan for them is through the regular investment in United States savings bonds. Savings bonds can help you get those long-range goals that every family does set for itself. A new house, college educations for the kids, extra retirement income, a new car, say. And saving bonds are a flexible investment. They can be adapted to every type of savings objective. Lots of people invest in savings bonds through the payroll savings plan or through just regular purchases at their bank. And of course, besides being a very, very good investment, savings bonds help our national economy, help keep it sound, help protect the value of the dollar, and help build our defenses. Keep freedom in your future with United States savings bonds. Charlie Weaver has his ice axe and his Himalayan guide, so I guess he's ready to scale Mount Ida. And if you doubt that the abominable snowman exists, stay tuned.
Here's Charlie Weaver with his usual song and dance. Mount Ida's ambassador in baggy pants.
This is Charlie Weaver for Flair. You may know folks who are like the ones in Mount Ida. Mount Ida folks enjoy their leisure time. And they should. They have such beautiful dreams. Well, I'm not saying they sleep their free hours away. They just work hard and they rest hard. Lots of things to do out in Mount Ida in the evening. There's the band concerts. Every Saturday night, Lister Niff and the boys get together by the edge of Snyder Swamp and serenade the folks for only 10 cents each. It was quite a racket those boys had. In fact, it was quite a racket those boys made. And any night you could go to Yardley Square and listen to the soapbox orators, or be one yourself. Fent Tightwaller stood up there one night for 6 hours calling for the government to start prohibition again. Well, no one listened. Not because his speech was long, but Fent was drunk at the time. Excitement breaks out once in a while, like when Strum Gish called for an end to women's voting rights. He barely escaped alive. Every man in the crowd tried to get him. Up to that time, the menfolk in Mount Ida kept women's rights to vote a big dark secret. It shook up their politics since. The young folks know what to do with their leisure time. They take their girl out canoeing in Snyder Swamp. Then they get out in the middle and ask for a kiss. If they get refused, they'd paddle her back. Well, that's Mount Ida, where like anywhere else, they learned you have to take some time out before time runs out.
Where you are, cheer up. There are blue skies ahead. Your forecaster, Della Reese.
Blue skies smiling at me. Nothing but the blue skies do I see. Yeah, blue birds singing a song. Pretty little blue birds singing and swinging all day long. Believe me, I never saw the sun shining so bright. Never had things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, oh my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them are gone. Nothing but the blue skies from now on. I never saw the sun shining so bright. Never had things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, oh my, how they fly. Blue days, gone, gone, gone. Nothing but the blue skies from now on. Just the brightest and bluest of skies from now
is made when great men such as Isaac Newton, Columbus, or Einstein make great discoveries. Carrying on this tradition are Edie Gourmet and Steve Lawrence, who announce, "I'm a girl and you're a boy."
I'm a girl, you're a boy. I'm a girl and you're a boy, and we've got so much to enjoy. I'm a she, you're a he. I'm a she and you're a he, and no one's here but you and me.
I'm a boy, you're a girl. I'm a boy and you're a girl, and you have got me in a whirl. I'm a Joe, you're a Jane. I'm a Joe and you're a Jane, and we're alone in Lover's Lane, and there's a moon up above.
I'm a girl.
just how much she knows about the birds and bees. She's kind of shy. How I'd love to take her in my arms and hug and squeeze. I think I'll try. I'm so glad she's a girl and I'm a boy. We're all alone. The reason why
nature made us differently. I'm a girl,
I'm a boy,
I'm a girl,
and I'm a boy, and we've got so much to enjoy. I'm a he,
I'm a she,
I'm a he,
and I'm a she,
and no one's here but you and me, and there's a moon up above, and we're in love, so in love.
Here's Lawrence Galton with the latest news on reducing. I'm waiting to hear of a monetary metrical that will reduce my taxes.
Lawrence Galton is less prescription for medical news of any description.
Taking off weight, a problem of what might be called consuming passion for many people, is also an intriguing one for physicians. And here's news on the subject in the way of an unusual experiment in which a New York doctor put 120 obese patients on low-calorie reducing diets. Now, 20 of the 120 were exceptionally firm-willed and just went on a diet. The other 100 weren't sure they could stick with it, so some received a drug to curb their appetites, while others were given vitamin mineral candies to help satisfy their hunger. The investigation went on for 3 months, and one interesting observation was that rarely did any patient lose weight uniformly. Instead, most shed excess poundage in spurts, more than expected 1 week, less or even little at all the next. This seems to be almost an inevitable pattern and should not be discouraging if you're dieting. Most interesting of all, results over the 3 months were virtually identical for all three groups, with losses averaging 16 to 19 pounds. What this means, reports the physician who conducted the experiment, is simple enough. There is no open sesame for weight reduction, no special advantage to be gained from any reducing aid. Anything at all that promotes less calorie intake will promote less poundage. And plain willpower, if you can muster it, is fully as effective as any drug or special candy concoction.
Eileen Barton. You remember, she's the gal who started the instant cake mix business when she sang, "If I Knew You Were Coming, I'd Have Baked a Cake."
I bet you begged, you pleaded to, you know that I'm in love with you, but you won't give me any sign on if you're planning to be mine. I wish you'd fall in love with me. I bought you this and bought you that, but still I don't know where I'm at. I love you so my heart does trick. It's your fault that I'm in this fix. I wish you'd fall in love with me. Please, won't you make your mind up soon? Together we could climb the heights and maybe reach the moon. I'll even give this guarantee. I'll love you when I'm 83. I think by now you ought to know I love you, love you, love you. So I wish you'd fall in love with me.
Thank you.
into taking a look at the Battle of Sexes, a military encounter ranked as successful as Pickett's Charge, Custer's Last Stand, and Don Quixote's windmill campaign.
Miss Fran Allison, we understand, is about to give flair a little share of Fran Allison Wonderland.
In my constant search for a peaceful solution to the battle of the sexes, I've just discovered another basic difference between you men and us women. Let me explain with a little example. Mrs. A drives into an unfamiliar neighborhood trying to locate a friend's new home. After about 5 or 10 minutes of fruitless searching, she gives up and pulls into the nearest service station for directions. The attendant explains the way, and a few minutes later, she pulls up at her friend's front door. But what happens when Mr. A is the driver? The same thing? When Mr. A is at the wheel and has trouble finding an address, the whole situation takes on the aspect of an expedition into uncharted lands. The pioneer spirit comes forth. This is the old story of man against the elements. The fact that there are natives to ask on every corner makes no difference. Mr. A would as soon say he didn't know the difference between fly casting and deep sea fishing as admit he was lost. And so he'll drive around and around as intent as though he were on the trail of the 7 lost cities of the Incas. The wind-up either is that he eventually finds the place and arrives 2 hours late, or if he's lucky, he runs out of gas. If this happens, and he finds himself forced into a service station, then it's all right to ask in an offhand manner if the attendant ever heard of Willow Lane. The next street over, he knew it all the time, just wanted to reassure the little woman. Pity, but she has absolutely no sense of direction.
Perry Como is about to list all the things that it's a good day for doing. However, he doesn't mention that any and every day is good for doing some physical exercise. Don't just be a weekend exerciser. Make sit-ups, push-ups, chin-ups, and deep knee bends your daily companions. How's that, Bonnie?
Fine, Dick.
Okay, now, will you release that full Nelson?
Oh, it's a good day. Singing a song, and it's a good day. I'm moving along. Yes, it's a good day. How could anything go wrong? A good day from morning till night. Yes, it's a good day to shine in your shoes. And it's a good day to lose in the blues. Everything to gain and nothing to lose. Cause it's a good day from morning till night.
You're right.
I said to the sun, good morning, sun. Rise and shine today. You know you've got to get going if you're going to make a showing. And you know you've got to ride away.
Cause it's a good day for paying your bills. And it's a good day for curing your ills.
So take a deep breath and throw away all your pills. Cause it's a good day from morning till night.
Say that again.
Oh, it's a good day from morning till night.
That's what he said.
Yes, it's a good day from morning till night.
Now, before you tetrazzini your chickens, here's Basil Rathbone to say that they make good pets.
Mr. Basil Rathbone, next on Flair, is gonna tell you the whys and hows of the breeding and the feeding and the care of pets. From the doggy bark,
arf, arf,
to the cat, meow, meow.
This is Basil Rathbone for Flair. If you're thinking of having hens for pets, my advice is go ahead. A hen requires but little living space and a comparatively small amount of food and care. Not only that, but where else can you get a pet that provides food for you? As a rule, you don't find many people having hens as pets. One reason for this has been the common belief that hens are stupid and incapable of entering into social relationships. But recently, scientists have found this is not the case. According to A.M. Gao, professor of zoology at Kansas State University, there's a definite social structure in hen society in which seniority rights are respected. It was found during a biological experiment that when a new bird was added to the flock, it usually got the bird. What I mean is, it was automatically placed at the bottom of the pecking order. In other words, it was pecked at by the other birds in the flock. In this experiment, when a new bird was added, the longest resident was removed. As time passed and its superiors were removed every 2 days, the newcomer rose in the ranks, usually achieving top rank by its last day. Of course, there were some hens who got to the top in a few days, and one who never got off the bottom level at all. So, you see, perhaps we can learn something from hens. What can we learn? Well, perhaps this. If you want to get ahead in life, don't chicken out.
Thanks, Basil. Here's Barbara Russell with the Bye-Bye Blues. The high-lows with Tangerine, and one tangerine isn't going to go very far among the four of them. Why didn't they sing Watermelon instead?
Tangerine, she is all they claim, with her eyes of night and lips as bright as flame. Senorita Stan and Caballero's sigh. And I've seen the toasts to Tangerine raised in every bar across the Argentine. She has them all on the run, but her heart belongs to just one. Her heart belongs to Tangerine.
Master Decorator William Paulman was saying just a minute ago that there are lots of ways to perk up your home, even if your wife won't let you have a geisha. Okay, Bill, what are they?
William Paulman put the flair and a lot of imagination into his advice on interior decoration.
This is William Paulman for Flair. Does your home need a little perking up? If you want to give it a fresh new look, think about some new slipcovers. One of the simplest and least expensive ways to change the looks of a room is to invest in slipcovers for your upholstered furniture. There are all kinds of slipcovers. They don't have to be flowered chintz or something washable. You can have these too, but you can also have slipcovers that are semi-permanent, made of many kinds of fabrics. When it comes to cleaning, I believe it is a better plan to have slipcovers dry cleaned, even if they are cotton. Sooner or later, all furniture coverings have to be cleaned, and slipcovers simplify this. If you want to go all out, you can have two sets of slipcovers for the same furniture. Then you can change the looks of your room according to the season. Be sure that they fit well.
You've been listening to Flair, a worldwide presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.